the alt rock.
This is CIOY 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Hi, this is pianist Steve Amiro from the Montreal Jazz Trio, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Orange Grove Radio. This is the show where we talk about, listen to, and celebrate the very best in Canadian jazz music. Today's episode features an interview with Montreal-based pianist and composer Steve Amiro. His trio, Montreal Jazz Trio, released a self-titled album in September, and it features Jim Doxis on drums, Adrian Vidani on bass, and Steve Amiro on keys. I have the pleasure of interviewing Steve for today's episode, so stay tuned for that, as the interview will be happening a little bit later in the show. We have some incredible music lined up for you today. It's going to be an amazing show, if I do say so myself. We have music by Beth McKenna and Jazz Lab Orchestra, new music by Shannon Gunn, and so much more. So definitely stick around because we have a great show for you. For now, if you want to follow us on social media and join the conversation, you can tweet us at OG Publicity. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Orange Grove Publicity. If you're enjoying the show and you want to listen to past episodes, you can actually listen as a podcast by searching up Orange Grove Radio on Mixcloud and or Spotify. And lastly, if you love what you're hearing, but you didn't catch the title or the band name, you can find all of our playlists on our website at www.orangegrovepublicity.com. All right, let's get started with a track by the Heavyweights Brass Band. Their brand new album, Stir Crazy, is drenched in energy, passion, and feeling. This is their fourth full-length album, and fun fact, they released their first album 10 years ago, so they've been making music for quite some time. Stir Crazy features high-intensity New Orleans-style brass playing and virtuosity, and the band is made up of some great Toronto-based musicians, including John Pittman on trumpet, Paul Metcalf on saxophones, RJ Sachithanandan on trombone, Tom Richard on tuba, Lowell Whitty on drums and percussion, and special guest Joel Vizentin on organ and Aline Morales on triangle. This is Stir Crazy by the Heavyweights Brass Band. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Thank you.
skies of deep blue appear each time our lips touch again. I long for you so much again. You are my favorite star, my haven and heaven above. 'Cause you are everything I love.
Cole Porter's Everything I Love by Shannon Gunn from her album On a Mountain, featuring Rainey Rosnes on piano, Neil Swainson on bass, Billy Drummond on drums, and special guest Pat LaBarbera on tenor saxophones. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio. Coming up next is a brand new track by Beth McKenna from her album Beyond Here. Born in Nova Scotia and a Montrealer since 2008, Beth McKenna is one of Montreal's most versatile saxophonists, bandleaders, and composers. Written almost entirely prior to the emergence of the COVID-19 pandemic, McKenna's new album Beyond Here was inspired by the impact we as humans have on the world around us, from conflict and climate change to the fusion of North American culture with global influence. This album features Guillaume Martineau on piano and keys, François Jalbert on guitar and effects, Olivier Babaz on electric and upright bass, which, fun fact, there's often both electric and upright bass on all the tracks of this album, so that's pretty interesting and cool. We also have Peter Colantonio on drums and Sarah Rossi on voice. This is Streets of Mexico City by Beth McKenna, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Thank you. Hey, this is Montreal-based saxophonist and composer Beth McKenna, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio on 101.5 The Hawk.
Cradle me where southern skies can watch me with a million eyes. Sing me to sleep, lullaby of the leaves. Cover me with heaven's blue. With the breeze, I'm hearing a song through the trees. Ooh, that fine melody caressing the shore from me to me. I've heard it before. Ooh, that south bend, don't I feel it in my soul? And don't I know that I've reached my goal? Oh, sing me to sleep, lullaby of the leaves.
Lullaby of the Leaves by the Aubrey Wilson Quartet from their album Honeysuckle Rose. It features Chris Bruder on piano and keys, Tom Altobelli on bass, Sean Bruce Parker on drums, and special guest Louise Denny's on alto saxophone. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio, the show that plays the latest and greatest in Canadian jazz. Coming up next is a track by Avatar, an award-winning world jazz group featuring a cohort of some of Toronto's finest jazz, world, funk, and pop musicians. The music is inspired by the deep musical traditions of India, Africa, and Brazil, and is rooted within the framework of modern jazz. In an innovative marriage of ancient and modern, driving grooves intersect with cinematic atmospheres and soaring melodies, creating a fresh sonic experience. The music in Worldview represents a logical artistic evolution for its leader, Sundar Viswanathan. The album is a musical commentary on the state of our world, on the pandemic, and on the inability of our leaders to lead with integrity, honesty, and compassion. While the actions of our leaders affected so many, some of the songs started as gut responses to the treatment of children, our most valuable and vulnerable citizens. This is A Safe Space for Children for All by Avatar, featuring Sundar Viswanathan on alto and soprano saxophones, Felicity Williams on vocals, Michael Acapinti on electric guitar, Justin Gray on electric bass, Ravi Nampali on tabla, Max Sennett on drums and percussion. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Oh,
Steve Amiro is a jazz pianist and composer based out of Montreal, Quebec. He is also the piano player in the Montreal Jazz Trio, a group that also features Adrian Vedati on bass and Jim Doxis on drums. I had the pleasure of interviewing Steve for today's episode, so without further ado, here's our interview. Congratulations on the release of your new album, Montreal Jazz Trio. It's a beautiful album.
Thank you.
I like it. It has moments of fragility and other moments of like heavy swinging. So there's a lot going on. And as I know, and you know, there's so much that goes into releasing new music. So how are you feeling about having this music out in the world?
I mean, it's quite exciting, actually. And, I mean, it always is exciting when you put music out. But I guess because maybe the timing of the, you know, the pandemic and everything, we were rehearsing before the pandemic hit and getting together to play with Jimmy Doxis and Adrian Vedati. And we just kept playing through the pandemic, and it was going really well. And we thought, let's go in and record something, because quite frankly, we had nothing else to do. No, you know, those two guys especially are really busy, and their schedules, as all our schedules, came to a halt, right? So we just we went into the studio, and it was a lot of fun, actually. The whole thing has been a lot of fun. It's great to play with those guys, and we're buddies. We've known each other for a long time. I'm a little older than they are, but we've played together in different projects over the years, and this is kind of making it official kind of thing. You know, we put the trio together with a specific repertoire, and yeah, I hope we can get out there and do a lot of shows. You know, it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah. With everybody being in isolation and, you know, having this strict rules going on, all this stuff, it must have been really nice to have something to look forward to play together through those hard times.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely had, especially when we were on lockdown, we had a curfew, right?
And yes, Montreal had a curfew. Yeah. What was it, 8 p.m. or something?
It was 8 for a while, and then they loosened it up, quote unquote, to 9:30. But after all that other stuff in the pandemic, I found the curfew difficult because, you know, I like to go out and do things and see people. You know, we had to leave to, you know, a dinner party or whatever. Okay, time to go home, you know. It's strange. So, yes, having the rehearsal or getting together with Jim and Adrian to play the music was one of my things to look forward to every week. And yeah, absolutely. It was really important, actually, which goes to show you how much musicians just want to play. You know, that's really what we want. We'd like to get paid well, too, but we just want to play good music, you know, and it really keeps us going, you know. Yeah.
Seeing as you've played in a bunch of different formations and different contexts, as well as with or without Jim and Adrian, what is it that you love about your connection as a trio?
Trio in general, you mean? Or, yeah.
Sure, in general and with these two folks, yeah. Too.
Well, most of the work I have done, actually, I have done a lot of different sized bands, but as the leader, I've almost always done trio. I think the piano... you know, the piano can take a lot of room. It can also be very, doesn't have to take a lot of room, but it can take a lot of room. And when you start adding one, two, three more people, that can be great too, but it definitely changes the roles of everybody. So I think most piano players really like the control. Maybe we're control freaks, I don't know. But it's very intimate, the trio. I think it can be intimate, a larger band, but... for me, I find it more challenging, you know. And since I'm bringing most of the music in, and I, you know, I think about how it works on the piano, so I need the space to do, you know. And Jimmy and Adrian are both great soloists, so you know, I would say it's the intimacy of the small group that I like the most, which can go from very, very sparse to really big, you know.
Nice. Well, speaking of intimacy, personally, the standout track for me of this album is the one entitled Empathy, which I believe is the third track on the album. I love it. So beautiful.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you could tell me more about the inspiration behind this composition.
I wrote that at my old apartment because I've been in where I am now for about a year and a half. I wrote that at the beginning of the pandemic. I was, you know, wasn't what was I going to say? I much prefer to be here, but at the beginning of the pandemic, I was over there. And I don't know about you, but it was very confusing at the beginning. And I was getting tired of everybody sort of yelling at each other on social media. So basically, it was just a calm thing. I wrote that tune and I called it Empathy because I was tired of seeing people being aggressive with each other. And, you know, a little understanding maybe can go a long way. And that's really what it, you know, what comes to mind with that piece. It's very straight, if you will, harmonically. It's mostly triads and the melody and very folky, which I have other music like that. I don't know. Sometimes it's nice just to have that kind of harmony as opposed to all the really dense jazz stuff that we do, you know.
Maybe that's why it stood out for me in contrast. It would just seem right. Like a nice kind of middle soundscapey type of.
Sure, because some of the stuff is thick. On some of the stuff from the piano on this record is a little thick at times, you know. So this kind of has a, you know, I don't know, kind of see the ocean, I guess, when you listen to that.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of takes you to another place, which is a beautiful contrast. And I like that because not only does that track stand out, but I find when you do that, it makes the other, the ones, like the other tracks stand out in their own way too.
Sure, so. Sure. It's kind of like a palate cleanser.
Yeah, something a little different. Well, as I said, like this album's definitely swinging though, and you have a mix of original music and arrangements of classic jazz repertoire. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, you know, of all of the songs that exist in this tradition, how did you end up picking the ones that you did?
Somebody else asked me that recently, and it's kind of natural in the sense that obviously I don't know, I haven't heard or played all the tunes, you know, but as you know, as a singer, there's a song that will just, I don't know, you can't even describe it. It's the way that the harmony moves, the way the melody moves with the harmony, maybe the structure of it, whatever. Some things just fit your style better. I gravitate towards those tunes and I play them a lot before I decide I'm going to actually do anything. If I like a tune, I'll end up playing it a bit every day for maybe just 10 minutes. And if nothing comes to me as far as the arrangement of how I want to play it to fit into my style, I'll probably let it go. You know, specifically, I wanted to do standard and standard-esque things on this record, right? So, for instance, the A-Train intro, which is a stride piano thing, I've been tweaking that off and on for 3 years, you know, until I was satisfied. You know, I would work on it a bit and then forget about it, work on it a bit. So that process, I guess. So once I make a decision that I'm going to work the tune, then I have to kind of force myself to finish it, you know. But usually at that point, I'm super into it. And but you have to be patient. I don't know, you know, it takes a lot of time, you know, to be satisfied with it as opposed to forcing something out that you're kind of like, meh. Because at the end of the day, you're the one that has to make all the decisions, you know, for the most part, you know. Yeah. Did that make any sense?
I think it did. Yeah. I wanted to ask you a bit about your arranging choices, just in a general sense, like how, you know, how do you approach putting your own spin on something that is so, these songs, especially like A-Train and yeah. All the things you are that are so deeply rooted in the tradition and make it your own?
Well, I have been working on these harmonic concepts for many, many years, and the things that I use as a pianist. And I was trying to write a method book, actually. I was thinking, okay, I should put out a harmony book with all these ideas. And I was having a really hard time with it, because just to write a book, you have to decide, okay, well, how much of this do I use? What's the context? And then I thought, what if I wrote on a standard, if I use these harmonic concepts in a musical context, and it was so much easier because now I had parameters, you know, the standard, the form of it, and I had to make it musical, not just here are the things that I know, right? Because you have to make choices, and so it's like it's being a composer using specific things that lead through the whole thing. There's a lot of similar style voicings in this. Is this too technical for, not for you. I mean, so that's what it was. I was using my harmonic and melodic things that I've created over the years on a structure that people know, and it makes it communicate a little more than if it was completely on a harmonic series that nobody knows, like in a completely original tune. Do you know what I mean? So you like All Things You Are. So when you listen to that, you go, oh, I can hear All the Things You Are, but boy, it's different, you know? Yes. So it's kind of, it's all of that together that made me want to do that. I did the same similar thing for Nowhere, which is Out of Nowhere. A-Train is in two different keys.
Yes.
Yeah, we play
funky like that. I'm like, whoa, yeah. We're somewhere else. Whoa, we're back.
Yeah. Yeah, we played C and in D flat major. It's the first time I've done that. All my other records are original music. It's the first time that I've written contrafacts, actually. And then after the melodies are over, then we get to improvise on structures that we already are familiar with. So. Yeah,
for those listening who are new to jazz, can you tell us what is a contrafact?
A contrafact is an original melody written on the structure of a well-known tune. I think that's right. Yeah. People may know some of Charlie Parker's pieces that were show tunes, Broadway tunes, where he would change the melody but keep the chord structure. So, yeah. That's my understanding.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I have one last question for you. It's a little bit, you know, away from the album itself and more just about musicianship. And with the pandemic, you know, ongoing pandemic happening and 2 years of struggle and all this stuff, I'm seeing musicians kind of drop out of the scene like flies, you know, like I'm seeing people finding other things to do because of the lack of, you know, stability and opportunity right now. And I was wondering if you had any words of encouragement or wisdom for any musicians listening to this incredible Canadian jazz, you know, and if you have anything you'd like to say to them or any advice.
You know, I mean, I've been at this a while. And there's no question that sometimes it's difficult, you know, it's difficult to maintain your art form, make enough money. At times you make lots of money, at times you don't make money. So the pandemic, I think for some people was, even though it was more intense because we couldn't work or travel, I think most people that are lifers like myself, I like to think of myself as a lifer, have been through hard times. So giving up and doing something else has never been an option for me. But I think that people that they're young, they don't see a whole life in music. I think that's valid too. You know, it's really about finding whatever it is that you can live with yourself with, you know. Giving up can be the right thing to do. But I think the people that are really there to play music and to contribute will find it again, I think. If they have to do something else for a little while, well, that's good for them to take care of themselves. It's not a failure, you know. But yeah, like I said, I mean, for me, I practiced and I kept at it through the pandemic. It made me want to work. It didn't make me go, well, this is pointless, you know. And I guess having projects, no matter what you do as a musician, if you have one or two projects that you really believe in, it helps you cope with the other things. So you're doing some things for the money that you don't really like, but you have this really great band or this really great connection with musicians that you love playing with. That really, for me, that's always saved me in the times where maybe I was a little frustrated. But there's so much to learn. I can't imagine not, you know, not keeping at it. And also it helps to have personal connections with people too. I mean, my thing with Jimmy and Adrian is that we're buddies and we know each other well and we play great together and it's quite uplifting. You know, and they were really great to I brought in these arrangements and they were very patient with me and we were trying all kinds of things. And I mean, that's community right there, you know, even without putting something out, just getting to do it is really fulfilling. Yeah. From that end. I don't know if community is the most important thing.
No, I think you really you know what? A lot of empathy coming from you, Steve, which is perfect because that's exactly the next song that we're about to play on the show. So thank you so much for joining us, and everybody check out Montreal Jazz Trio.
Thank you. I hope to get to Toronto again soon. I haven't been for, well, since I left, which is like 3 years ago, I guess. So
yes, we'll have to connect.
Thank you, Jenna.
Hi, this is Steve Amiro from the Montreal Jazz Trio, and you're listening to 101.5 The Hawk.
You're listening to Orange Grove Radio, and I'm your host, Jenna Marie. And on this show, we play the latest and greatest in Canadian jazz. We're almost at the end of today's episode, but don't go anywhere because we still have one incredible track to play for you. Until then, though, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in, especially if you're here week after week. We love you. And if you're new, hi, welcome. If you want to join our conversations and, you know, give us a request or let me know how you're enjoying the show or give any critiques, you can tweet us at OG Publicity. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Orange Grove Publicity. If you love the show and you want to listen to past episodes, you can as a podcast by searching up Orange Grove Radio on Mixcloud and Spotify. You can also find all of the playlists of all of our shows on our website, orangegrovepublicity.com. Closing the show today is brand new music by Montreal's Jazz Lab Orchestra. They've been a Canadian jazz institution since 2004, and for over 15 years, this multi-generational ensemble of Montreal's finest improvisers has explored a wide variety of musical styles and approaches to writing and playing. Always original, every project they've undertaken has been inspired and audacious. They have a brand new album coming out, which I believe is pronounced Logus Labus Musicus, and it features Mario Allard on soprano, alto sax, and clarinet, Benjamin Deschamps on soprano, tenor sax, and flute, Samuel Blais on soprano sax and bass clarinet, Jacques Cuba Seguin on trumpet, Thomas Morali Bernard on trombone, Félix Touzy on piano, Alain Bédard on double bass, and Michel Lambert on drums. Logus Labus Musicus features 9 new pieces by bassist and composer Auguste Leprez, all of which reflect the spirit of modern jazz today. It's an exciting and dynamic record executed masterfully by the band, and each member manages to simultaneously lift the band up while also staking out their place as a distinct individual voice in the group. As Jazz Lab Orchestra continues to evolve, the temperature continues to rise, and this is a very hot album. So definitely check it out, Logus Labus Musicus by Jazz Lab Orchestra. I'm Jenna Marie, and as always, thank you so much for tuning in. We absolutely love making this show, so stick around because we'll be here at the same time, same place next week. This is Bluesy Delunity on Orange Grove Radio. Bye-bye.